Congratulations, church. You've made it through an entire summer of associate pastor preaching. Yes, I know.
Thanks to you.
John has had the opportunity this summer to take 6 weeks away as a sabbatical and to renew and to refresh himself. He will be back in the office tomorrow and be back in the pulpit next Sunday, beginning our sermon series on George Ricker's book, What You Don't Have to Believe to Be a Christian. I'm looking forward to that. Everyone needs to get away once in a while to renew, to refresh, to disconnect from the world and connect to God. In our scripture for today, Solomon was doing exactly that. He needed to get away because things had been a little busy for him recently. His father David had died, and Solomon was not first in line for the throne. He had an older brother, but some political maneuvering by his mother Bathsheba made it so that he was anointed king before David died. David left, and on his deathbed, David called Solomon to him and kind of gave him two lists, a list of friends, people to stay in touch with, people that could help him out, people that could be good for him to know, and a list of enemies. And basically said, these are the people that you need to take care of. I imagine like this Godfather moment, but Solomon's early days on the throne were filled with getting in touch with those that would be considered friends of the king and taking care of those who weren't. When the dust settled, his brother Adonijah and all those leaders that supported him were either dead or exiled from the kingdom. Solomon was not a trained military leader, but he was put in charge of all of Israel's armies. He knew that he needed to learn quickly if he was going to hold this very large kingdom together. So he goes to the mountains, to a high place, a place called Gibeon, to pray, to worship God, to offer burnt offerings to God. And this process would have taken a number of days. So our scripture tells us that God appeared to Solomon in a dream one night while he was there at Gibeon. Have you noticed that God appears to people in scripture in their dreams quite often? Samuel first hears God's voice while he is sleeping. Jacob dreams of a ladder that reaches from earth to heaven and angels ascending and descending upon it. In the New Testament, God speaks to Mary, Joseph, Paul, and others through angels that appear to them in their dreams. And I wonder if perhaps when we are asleep, we are more able to hear God's voice. God appears to Solomon in his dream, and then God does something extraordinary. Even for God, this was extraordinary. He tells Solomon, ask of me anything that you want. No strings attached, anything at all. I believe this is the only time in Scripture that God does this. Solomon is overwhelmed. He answers God by first recognizing what God did for his father David. He showed David mercy. And Solomon says that God honored David because David walked before you in faithfulness, righteousness, and uprightness of heart. I think there was a little bit of revisionist history happening in that moment, but certainly David did all those things at certain times in his life. But there were other times when David got caught up in his own desires, his own selfishness, his own greed. And he was very far from being faithful and upright of heart. However, Solomon reminds God of the good times. And then he approaches God with this rather lengthy explanation for what he's going to ask for. He says, I'm young. He calls himself a little child. Scholars tell us that he would have been anywhere from 12 to 20 when he ascended to the throne. And so he's not kidding. He is a little child. He's very, very young to be a king over that empire, especially an empire with a checkered history. Then he asks God for something that nobody could have guessed. He says, "Give me an understanding mind or an understanding heart to judge your people, that I might discern good from bad." This is remarkable. We all know that young men's brains are not fully developed yet. They're still thinking about instant gratification at that age. Their frontal lobes are not fully connected. They can't think about consequences the way they can when they get older. And here's this young man that God has said, ask for anything. And he asks for an understanding heart. Not wealth or fame or riches or a date with Jennifer Lawrence. He asks for an understanding heart. That might be a sign that his brain was not fully developed. I don't know. But anyway, God is impressed. And God basically says, I did not expect that. But because you have asked for wisdom and you want discernment in judging, I'll give you long life and riches and honor. No king will compare to you. You are the top dog of kings. I think there's a lesson to be learned from this encounter between Solomon and God. It stands out to us because God does something unexpected and extraordinary, and Solomon responds in an unexpected and extraordinary way. When this happens in Scripture, we need to pay attention. We know there's something to be learned from this. This text teaches us to think about what we ask for from God. Solomon could have had anything he wanted, but he chose instead to ask for the one thing that he needed. He didn't need a date with Jennifer Lawrence. He needed to be able to discern good from bad, right from wrong. Solomon had not been king for very long, but it had been long enough for him to have a pretty clear idea of where his worst failings were going to be and what he most needed to make up for them. It's a difficult thing to do sometimes. It's difficult to separate our wants from our needs, to pare the wish list down to the essentials. I've been watching the news lately, as many of you have, about the wildfires in California. And there was one particular interview where a reporter was talking to a resident who was being told that they might have to evacuate, but they hadn't evacuated just yet. And the reporter asks the resident, "How fast can you get out?" And the resident said, 5 minutes. And the reporter was impressed and said, "How can you get out so quickly?" And he said, "I've narrowed things down to the ones that are most essential. The car is loaded. I'm only taking what's important. The rest is just stuff." Figure out what we need, and the rest is just stuff. The great theologians, Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, eloquently wrote about this when they said, "You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need." What can we ask of God? We can ask for what we need. Perhaps we deal with anger. We need to have a way to channel that anger in a more healthy and constructive way. We need to examine why do we think that all the other drivers out there are just trying to annoy us and get in our way. Roadway rage consumes us, and we give way to our annoyance and say something or gesture something, perhaps, that is not in line with the bracelet that says WWJD. Perhaps we deal with anxiety. When the world feels out of control, our emotions take over and we are unable to discern whether a situation is are we perceiving it through our lens of anxiety or are we thinking clearly? We feel stressed, nervous, and we obsess about something that is usually beyond our control. Perhaps we live in fear. Being alone causes us to be nervous and jumpy. Being in a crowd causes us to look out the corner of our eyes and assess potential threats or danger. We worry about our finances, our health. We worry about our children, our family, the environment. The list of things to worry about never ends. And we can't seem to find balance in our lives. Discerning what we need is not easy. Someone dear to me is a worrier. She worries about many things that are beyond her control. And over time, she's realized that while she says that she wants to be free from worry, what she truly needs, what her need is to be free from fear. If she let go of her fear, her worry would be manageable. But that deep-rooted, almost unnameable fear that she is not good enough holds her back from fully living life. Imagine God is asking us, what do you need to the most to live the life I want you to live? What do you need to make you the person you are called to be? What one thing would move you from where you are to the possibility of the future? Occasionally, instead of discerning our own needs, we try to deflect our need onto somebody else. I read a story this week about a boy who'd been sent to his room because he'd done something he shouldn't have done. And a short time later, he came out and said to his mom, "You know, I've been thinking about what I did, and I said a prayer." "That's great," she said. "If you ask God to help you be good, then God will help you." And he said, "Well, I didn't ask God to help me be good. I asked God to help you put up with me." We aren't able to see the log in our own eye because we are looking at the splinter in somebody else's. It's difficult to look inward because seeing our own vulnerabilities and our own shortcomings is uncomfortable. It messes with the view that we have of ourselves as good, well-adjusted, beloved by all, people who have it all together. And it makes us very uncomfortable. Once we discern our need, we can approach God. Solomon went to the high place to worship, offer burnt offerings, and to pray. He approached God by getting out of the palace and going to a place where there are few distractions and getting to a place where he could focus on God spiritually, physically, and where God could reach him. And all of us have different ways of connecting to the divine. Worship, music, prayer, meditation, all of those things help our spirits. Our minds are often so filled up with stuff that we can't focus on God. Emptying ourselves of the clutter allows our mind and our spirit to hear God's voice, which may be why so many times God appears to people in Scripture in their dreams. Being in a place of beauty like the desert or the mountains or the ocean help us to physically be present with God. By that I mean when we're out away in hopefully a beautiful place, our bodies can relax and breathe deeply. Our heart rate and our blood pressure drop. and our tension that we carry with us begins to ease. However, it's not practical to fly to Colorado every time we want to connect to God. So creating a place in our lives where we can disconnect from the world, a meditation space in our homes or our offices, can be helpful in letting us hear God's voice. When we discern our needs from our wants, we connect to God, we can ask for God what we truly need. Some of the greatest Christian prayers that have stood the test of time show that through the centuries, God's people have always been able to ask God for what we truly need. The opening prayer this morning in your bulletin is called the Serum Primer, and it was a prayer from an early Anglican worship practice, and it was first recorded in 1527, 600 years ago. And it shows that we can ask God to be in every part of our minds and hearts from the beginning to the end. The choir anthem today is that prayer set to music by John Rutter in 1970. Thank you. Much more recently than 1527, Reinhold Niebuhr published a prayer in 1951 that we commonly call the Serenity Prayer. You know the one. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the Serenity Prayer, Niebuhr asks God for serenity, courage, and wisdom. I wonder if the essence of living a life without fear, worry, and anxiety is serenity, courage, and wisdom. Perhaps this is why this particular prayer is used by support groups throughout the world. I led a cancer support group for 5 years, and we ended each of our sessions with this prayer. Solomon asked God for an understanding mind. He longed to be a wise judge of the people, to lead them well. And God granted that desire and gave him so much more. Solomon did not live up to his potential all the time. He had his spectacular failings, just like his father. But at the end of the day, he shows us how we can approach God to ask God to meet our needs. He gives us a blueprint. God is ready to offer us what we need. Thanks be to God. Amen.